Keep us in the fellowship of your love, O God. Amen. Throughout the Sundays of Eastertide, the sermons have been focusing on the readings from 1 John, a letter written by and for the early church. And we've been noticing how this letter aims to foster a sense of fellowship with God, a fellowship that comes through our interactions with one another. And whether it is relationships, theology, technology, or politics, so often where our disagreements and misunderstandings come from is when we are not on the same page about our definitions. We say one thing, but they hear something else. We might actually be in agreement, but because of our vocabulary, we think we are on different sides of an issue. So before we go any further, let's make sure that we are on the same page when it comes to the idea of fellowship. And we know that a fellow is a companion, a colleague, a friend. So fellowship would be our connection to our friends. And while it is great to have friends gathering together in church, that's not exactly what I have in mind when I say that 1 John is about fellowship. First of all, 1 John's concern is not fellowship in general, it's fellowship with God. And God is not our colleague. God is the source of all being, the artist who created the beauty of the world, the author who wrote into our hearts the yearning for love, the judge who calls forth justice, the good shepherd who makes it so that we all belong in one flock. Fellowship with God is not exactly the same thing as fellowship with a friend over coffee. Fellowship, as we so often think about it, is a relationship between equals. But we are not equals to God. Instead, our fellowship with God is always initiated and enabled by God. It's a relationship of grace. As we heard in Psalm 23, God sets the table of fellowship in front of us. God is the one filling our cup so that it flows abundantly. And the word that is used in John's fellowship to describe this idea is abiding. The word abide means to wait, to remain, to live or to dwell. As abide and abode are related words. To have fellowship with God is to abide in God, to be at home with God, to live in God. And this is the image found in that final phrase of Psalm 23, "And I will live in the house of the Lord forever." It's a lovely and comforting image, dwelling with God, living in God, being at home in God. But what does that even mean? How would we go about doing that? St. Augustine famously said that our hearts are restless until they rest in God. So how do we have our hearts rest and be at home in God? Well, the answer, I hope, will not come as a surprise. Love. If God is love, then the way to be with God, to abide with God, to be connected to God, is to receive and enjoy and share this love that's been given to us. But that takes us right back where we started, with definitions. We have to be clear about what love means. If there is another word that is asked to mean so many different things, I'm not sure what it would be. Love can describe the motivation of a martyr, our feelings for our family members, our reaction to a movie, or our opinion of a pair of socks. And when a word is spread so thin that it can cover all of that ground, we risk it meaning nothing at all. So if we stay with 1 John, the definition of love is this: that Jesus laid down his life for us. It is as Jesus put it and John recorded it in the gospel. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Now there's so much packed into that one sentence, it could take us a lifetime to truly understand it. So I'll point at just a couple of things that might be helpful as we pursue fellowship with God and one another. As I've already mentioned, and as I mentioned pretty much every single Sunday, this is always about grace. God loves us because God has chosen to love us, not because we have done anything to merit, warrant, or deserve being loved. It's such a tremendous gift because this sense of being the beloved of God can never be lost, stolen, or taken away. If we did nothing to deserve God's love, then we can never do anything to undeserve God's love. God chooses to love us. We do not earn it. Love was never the reward for getting the doctrine correct, the consequence of us saying the right prayer, or the result of our good deeds. And as we heard in 1 John, even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, meaning that even when we are not sure of our belonging, God is. When we doubt our forgiveness, God is certain of it. If we question our value or worthiness, God remains the lover of our souls. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for us, because that is what a Good Shepherd does. We are born into the flock of God's belovedness, and God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, forever and always, regardless of the things that we do and the things that we fail to do. God's love is always about grace. Throughout this Easter season, we've also been paying attention to the need for evangelism, inviting people to come and see, both as a means to grow this particular fellowship, but also as a way to welcome others into the joy and blessing of belonging in beloved community. Well, this message is the invitation to invite people into love. Church, when we are true to our mission and foundation, is a place where everyone belongs as they are. There is no need to pretend that you have it all figured out when you walk through the doors of this church. You can sit in a pew and just weep those tears that you have been carrying for too long. You can be, instead of having to pretend. The wonderful thing about church is that we all confess that we are imperfect and broken people. And so when we inevitably make mistakes, we will not be judged or outcast for it. Rather, we are given opportunities to practice reconciliation. And the church is also a place where everyone has a gift, something that is needed and valued. Some people are great at spreadsheets, others with gardening, cooking, teaching, singing, repairing, or visiting. So as you're thinking about inviting that neighbor or coworker or friend to St. Luke's, you might think about inviting them into a place where they can be at home, where they can abide. No pretending to have it all sorted out first, no needing to have all the answers, no needing to do anything other than hearing and receiving the message of love. And you can tell them that St. Luke's is a place where they belong, where they can contribute, where their gifts will be valued. And if you're already a part of St. Luke's and you have a gift that you would like to share, please let me know. Giving in love is how we participate in the abundance of love that flows from God. And giving really is the heart of love. Both 1 John and Jesus describe love as laying down one's life, as a sacrifice. And some are called to martyrdom, giving up their lives for the sake of others. And the church indeed is blessed by their witness. Medgar Evers, Martin Luther King, Constance and the nuns of the Sisterhood of St. Mary, Maximilian Kolbe, Oscar Romero, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Jonathan Daniels are shining examples of love as they followed Jesus' example of laying down their life for others. It is not often, though, that many of us will be called to love to the point of death. But there is always sacrifice in love. Maybe it's being imprisoned, as Nelson Mandela was, taking tremendous risks, as Harriet Tubman did, or giving generously, as so many of you do with your time and finances. Love is the action of sacrificial giving. And to be very, very clear about this, the sacrifice of love is always chosen, never imposed. Being the victim of abuse or neglect is not the sacrificial love that we are called to. As Jesus said, no one took his life from him. He chose to lay it down. Love is not about being victimized. Love is about abiding and persisting, even in the face of danger or death. Love, though, does require a sacrifice. It requires us to make certain choices instead of others. Love is standing up and speaking up for justice when it would be easier to remain silent. Love is giving, not out of our excess or our leftovers, but love is about starting with the needs of others before our own. Love is not about our emotions or how we feel. Love is about showing up, writing a note, baking a casserole. Love is not about our thoughts. It's about something that we do, something that restores and enables a relationship. Things like saying, I'm sorry, I forgive you, I can help with that, I need you to help me. As we heard in 1 John, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Love is action. One of my favorite ways to understand love comes from the founder of the Order of the Holy Cross, an Episcopal Benedictine community. Love must act as light must shine and fire must burn. Or as we heard, how can God's love abide in anyone who sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? This is the very pattern of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. We say that Jesus is love incarnate, that Jesus is the love of God in human form. Jesus is God's love in the flesh, the action of God's love towards us. It was not enough that God calls us beloved children, but this love must act. And that is what we see in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus shows us the love of God in action. We might even say that Jesus is the sacrament of God's love, the outward and visible sign of God's eternal and gracious love for us. And when we claim this belovedness and have this love be our orientation and our commitment to the world, then we abide in God. And because these actions of love are given to one another, well, then we gain fellowship with one another. It is a perfect economy of love. We receive, we use, we share. And this is what church is all about. We are not here to perpetuate a particular style of worship, to affirm our sense that we have the correct theology, to support an institution for its own sake. No, we are here because we have heard and seen and felt the call of love in our lives over the cacophony of chaos, challenge, and conflict. We have been found by the greatest of all things, which is love. We have recognized that we belong in the flock of our Good Shepherd, who loves us so much as to lay down his life for us. The brightness of this love is what burns in our lives, and it is our holy task to share this light with all those whom we meet. Everything that we do at St. Luke's is meant to proclaim this love, to nourish our growth in this love, to foster an environment for all people to receive the joy, freedom, and gift of this love. So on a personal level, if we want to grow deeper in faith and love, we might pray and reflect on the sacrificial side of love, asking of ourselves, what is love summoning from us? We always begin by thanking God for the love that's been given to us in Jesus, and then we ask, how is this love burning in my life? And in terms of inviting others into this fellowship of St. Luke's, think about how you might show others the shining grace of God's love that you have come and seen in this parish. Beloved, let us abide in God's love, not merely in words and speech, but in truth and action.